All right, kiddos, come join me. How's everybody today? Y'all a good-looking group, I tell you. All right, I've got something in my pocket I borrowed from my daddy. You ever seen anything like this before?
Nope.
What does it look like to you?
A pen.
Looks like a pen, doesn't it?
It looks like a pen. Yeah, that's awesome.
Looks like something you'd write with? All right, no more. I want you to watch closely, okay? Watch closely. What I'm going to do with it, press that button, and it's got that little red light that shows that it's on. I'm going to show you what this thing does. Watch this. Yeah, Dave, let me get behind you there, son. You know, my dad is an electrical contractor. That's what I grew up in. You can push this in an electrical outlet. Don't do this at home. Let me say that again. Don't do this at home. Don't push anything in an electrical outlet at home, okay? Unless you have your parents' permission. But you see, you put it in there, and see, the red light comes on. That means, what do you think that means?
That means it has power.
It has power, Will. Now hand me that white thing right over there, Will. Right there. And hand it to Brother Dusty. Yeah, man.
And I know what it's not going to do.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Now, here's one that has power. Here's one that isn't connected to anything.
And?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. But I push it in here.
Makes a squeaky sound.
No.
I push it in your ear. Nothing. Push it in here and we got power, okay? The power is connected. Now, the only reason why this is any good to us is because
it's not
it has power to it. And this doesn't have any power. This little thing here indicates to the world that there's power there. Now, I want to read a verse to you. Let's get back over here. All right. Set that over there for me, Will. Here's a couple of verses from Galatians chapter 5. It says here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, when we have those things, that means we have the Spirit living in us. Jesus said when He comes into our lives, His very Spirit, He takes up residence in us. He lives in us. We have the Spirit. And when those things are shown to everybody, it shows we have His power. Just like when I pushed that in that outlet, and I pushed it in this one, and there was nothing in here. But I pushed it in that one, and it has power. You see, our lives are being shown to people by all these things. Can you remember one of those fruits of the Spirit that I just mentioned? Gentleness. How can you be gentle to somebody? Self-control, that's right. What's another one? Joy?
Be glad.
Be glad, that's right. Being happy. Kindness.
Self-control.
All love, that's right. All those things can show to everybody that Jesus is living in us and that we have His power. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for these children. What a blessing they are to our lives. I pray truly, Lord, every one of them will grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Speak to their young hearts, Lord, as they are tender before You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's everybody wave out there to Mama. Okay. There we go. Okay, y'all can go to Kid Zone. Follow Maya. It's so good to see you today. Yes, Audrey and I cried when we got to Wisconsin, when we put our eyes on that baby for the first time in real life and not on Facebook or through any kind of media. And then we cried again when we left and had to leave them in that Babylonian captivity up there in Wisconsin, but know that the Lord is going to bring them one day to the promised land down here. So y'all pray accordingly, okay? He has answered one prayer. It looks like Craig's unit's going to move to Louisville, Kentucky, Fort Knox, later this year, early next year. Just pray that the wheels of progress will move quickly for that. But they're going to be here in May and June. He's in school over in Fort Rucker, so we'll get to love on young Finley and try not to spoil him. Ha ha. My daddy said something to me years ago as he had me and my brother out together one day. He looked at us with passion in his eyes and he said, "If I'd have known grandchildren were this good, I'd have skipped you two boys." And he said that deep from a heart of love for his two boys. It's so good to see you. I'm going to try it. John, you may need to modulate this a little bit. I've kind of got a dry throat today. And I know some of you have prayed for that for a long time. I believe the Lord may mess with you a little bit today. Go share a topic with you today that I'm going to ask you to just be open. Open to what the Scripture says. And I'm going to pray this prayer in just a moment. That Velcro prayer. I'm going to ask God that everything that proceeds from my mouth that is in agreement with His will, that it is going to stick. And everything that falls out of my mouth today that's not according to His will fall to the ground and you won't remember it. Okay? Deal? Okay. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that prayer right now, that Velcro prayer, that Lord, you would come and reveal your word to us. You would unveil the truth that today, Lord, we can hear from you. And Lord, anything that comes out of my mouth or anything that we've said thus far this day that's not according to your will, Lord, that it will drop to the ground and never be thought of again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the years, being a pastor, and I've been a pastor a long, long time, counseled a lot of people, cried and laughed with a lot of people over the years. And just when I think I've seen it all, a new week comes around, and it's a never-ending stream of God at work in people's lives. It's a blessing. But this thing I'm going to talk about today, if we could get this right in our lives, it would be a breakthrough like we have never seen before in our lives. And the topic is forgiveness. Hear these scriptures. Now you can listen to this later on when John posted out there. So I won't wait for you to catch up with the scriptures. But I want to read a passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. And then a story out of Matthew chapter 9. Here are the verses, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It says there, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander. Let's stop right there. What would happen at your home and your office if that happened? Whew. Wrap your mind around. As well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to one another. The kid said it a moment ago. Be nice to each other. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now hear this story from Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Getting into the boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and he came to his own city. And they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven." What immediately has happened to the Pharisees and all the religious leaders as soon as Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven"? He just lost all them. Because what has he just done? He has blasphemed. Because he has made himself equal with God. And some of the scribes said to themselves, "This fellow blasphemes." Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'?" Well, which one is easier for Jesus to do? He's Jesus, isn't he? Jesus can do whatever he wants to do. He has the power. And we see his miraculous power working in our lives. "And so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, pick up your bed, and go home." What do you think happened? He got up, went home, and when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck. And they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Glorified God. Who do you think wasn't glorifying God? Most probably. The Pharisees, the scribes. Now, let's look at forgiveness, because I believe this story shows two parts of forgiveness for us. The whole crux of the gospel. It's about forgiveness, isn't it? Ain't no sin up there up in my Father's house. The kid's chorus goes. We're not going to be with him forever with sin in our lives, are we? So something has to happen. A miracle has to happen. And it's the miracle of the new birth where sins are forgiven. Jesus could say, "Your sins are forgiven," because he had the authority to do that. And where did that authority come from? Well, he's God. He's the Son of God himself. And what did he do? He died in our place on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. The debt has been paid. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't know. And then he offers this gift to us and says, "I forgive you. I will wipe your slate clean." That's justification. That's being justified. It's being right. It's not sweeping your sin under the carpet. Because when you sweep something under the carpet, what happens? Audrey found one of my stashes the other day. I'd hidden some stuff in a stack of clothes. I got tired of putting the stuff away, and I just stuffed it in between some sweaters. And it's interesting on the shelf where the sweaters go, and then there's this big lump on the inside of a sweater as you go along. And she ran her hand in there, and she shouldn't have. Because everything that was in there was the stuff that had come out of my pocket. And I just stuffed things in my pocket all day long. It needed to be dealt with. That's what she said. You need to deal with it. It had to be handled. Amen? Well, it's close. It's close. Okay. So that's what he does. He justifies it. But see, he doesn't just forgive sin in the past. He is working with that in our lives right now and revealing the sin that we're a part of so that we won't step in those holes. That's sanctification. And you know what? We can trust in the future that he's going to forgive everything in our lives once we have him in our lives, and that's glorification. Because he's going to conform us to the very image of Christ. And one day we're going to have that brand new body. Do you see the picture? Forgiveness isn't just past. It's working now, and it's going to work into the future. It's a gift from God. Some of us who have Jesus in our lives, and we've experienced the forgiveness of Jesus for us, we're still holding on to some unforgiveness in our lives. Some people we haven't forgiven. Or some people that we need to go to and ask for their forgiveness. Now, what's the definition of biblical forgiveness? It is, you're not holding another's offense against that person. If some of us could just wrap our minds around that and think, you know, we think, so many people in our world today think, well, I'm just too evil for God. What I've done, God doesn't, if he only knew, wait a second, he's God. He knows everything. He not only knows what you did, he knows what you were thinking when you did it. He knows the attitude of your heart. When you forgive someone else, one of the things that you do, you are living with the consequences of what they did to you when you forgive them. That's what God does. When he forgives our sin, what does he do? It had a consequence for him, didn't it? What did it cost him? Jesus died in our place. You know, he calls on us to not to save our lives, but do what? Lose our lives daily for him. When you forgive someone, you're turning them over to the Lord. Can he handle it? I want to ask you a question. Are there any things you're holding on to in your life? Any unforgiveness? Because you see, in the middle of this passage I began with, in Ephesians, it says, get rid of all bitterness. It's interesting that the first word is bitterness. Rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender heart, forgiving one another. You see, when there's unforgiveness, it can turn into a root of bitterness in our lives. And it may be, have you asked the question why some people are angry? Or why am I angry about life? Saw a movie the other day, and a guy made the statement, he said, he's just mad that he was born. What's the root of that? Or some things you're holding on to? A few facts about forgiveness. It's hard to do. It's hard to forgive someone. I'm not saying it's easy. But it's simple. It's not complicated. You get the difference? It's not forgetting. You know. Well, how can I ever forget that thing? Well, after a while, if you've forgiven, you've handed them over, it passes out of your mind. Yes, if someone reminded you, you could bring you back to it, but it's passed out of your conscious mind. You're not constantly going over it. To hear that person very dear to me years ago when I was a teenage boy listening to her recounting the abuse done to her 70 years before. I think there was some holding on to unforgiveness there, to hurt. Don't hear me, please, don't hear me minimizing hurt. No. I'm all about severing the power that the hurt has over you as you go forward in life, where you can get deliverance from that. Every time I go out to Bonaventure Cemetery and to Greenwich, to Forest Lawn out there, that's where our family plot is. Some of our folks said they looked some old family pictures, said, did y'all go anywhere else and beside the cemetery when you were young? Because they have all these pictures taken out. We were always dressed up when we went to the cemetery, you know. But now as I go out there, that place is such a familiar place to me. I see a lot of chains going from graves out there. Chains that are shackles on people that are still living in unforgiveness. You say, well, how can I forgive someone that they're dead and gone? You can, by God's power. You can do it. It's an act of faith. It's the core of the gospel. And let me tell you, forgiveness is unique to the Judeo-Christian ethic. It's unique to us. There's no other faith that has it. I know some of you, immediately when I said that, you thought, I might want to challenge you on that. You got to read. You got to read their documents. You got to read what they say about what they really... This idea of forgiveness and love and grace is unique in Jesus. It's unique. It is past, it is present, it is future. Now let me give you a couple of things. I'm editing here in the interest of time. Satan will use unforgiveness and the bitterness that comes from it as a wedge in relationships and to keep us in bondage. Someone that you know you've offended, what do you tend to do? You dodge them, don't you? Don't want to face them. Someone that has offended you, what do you do? You see what happens? Forgiveness is a key to breakthrough in your life. You know that guy that you work with that's grouchy all the time, that comes and just looks like he's mad at the world? Well, he probably is mad at the world. But I bet if you go back, you'll find a root. A root. A root that has unforgiveness connected to it. This is real stuff. This is real life. Relationships. Forgiveness is a choice. Psalm 65, verse 3 says this, though our hearts are filled with sin, you forgive them all. Luke 24, 47, he said, with my authority, take this message of repentance to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sin for all who turn to me. Do you believe that? What if you just set it right with people? What if you got it right with one another? What if you got it right in your family? Doesn't mean you have to understand it. Doesn't mean you have to feel like it. In fact, we can't wait to forgive until we feel like forgiving. It's a choice. As we agree then to live with the consequences of whatever was done to us. Because you know what is going to happen? Whether you forgive them or not, you're going to live with the consequences of whatever happened. This way, you can be severed from the bondage of unforgiveness. When forgiveness comes, painful memories will come to the surface. Some of you have been traumatized in your past. You've been abused in different ways, physically, mentally, emotionally. You've had people that had power over you. As you trust the Lord, as you trust Him to bring those things up, listen, it's something you can't hurry up. You deal with whatever God brings up to you. If He brings something up to you that comes up in your life, He must think that you're ready to deal with it then. Do you follow me? Forgiveness. It's a choice. I ask you today to consider this message. First of all, if you have never trusted Jesus to forgive you of your sin, then you don't know the release of saying, I'm free. That initial thing that comes, that He wants to do in your life. I invite you to do that today. Some of you have been kicking the tires for a long time. It's time to make a commitment to Jesus. And say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I feel your love. I want to experience your forgiveness of my sin. In my life, I'm throwing it all upon you. That's a faith experience. But you know, He doesn't just let us stay there. He lets us grow. Brother Rick was talking about that this morning. As we grow in our faith, He's gonna look at all those things because He wants to make us holy, even as He is holy, to put us right with Him. I was talking to a friend of mine this past week, and he was talking about some of the suicide rates that are in high schools around the United States and right here in Georgia that we deal with. Young people, this is a real issue. Jesus will forgive you. When Audrey and I moved here from Middle Georgia, the last Sunday that I preached at the First Baptist Church of Gray, Georgia, the county seat of Jones County, as was my habit, I went back to my study about 10 minutes before the worship service was supposed to start. I'm a creature of habit. taped on my door was a letter. I immediately went into my office and it was sealed up in a couple of envelopes, you know, so no one could see through and see. I was a little late for the service because I was reading this letter that I could not put down. Let me give you the gist of it. Dear Brother Dusty, you've known me for 6 years. In that time, I've not been able to come to you with this burden that is in my life. I did something years ago for which I don't believe God can forgive me. I aborted a child that I was pregnant with out of wedlock. Every year I celebrate what I think would have been that child's birthday. I don't know what to do. The guilt, the pain, they haunt me. Person signed it. I could not get to them quick enough as they didn't sign it then. They signed it this anonymous, but before we left a week later, they revealed to us who it was. With everything in my soul, I tried to share with this person Jesus forgives all. You may be carrying a burden like that, that you think, oh, no one, that I would be anathema to people if they knew this about me. But I want you to know, the Jesus who died on the cross, even as he was there, and he cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? As the sin of the entire world came upon him. Let me tell you, he feels the force of your sin. And that's why he can say to you with his arms outstretched, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those arms are open today. Do you understand me? Let's pray. We're going to open the altar. Gary's going to play some very quiet music. You may just want to sit where you are. Brother Rick, Brother Dane, myself, we're going to be up here. If you want somebody to pray with you. But you may just need to let the whole, to stew some in the juice of the Holy Spirit this morning and let him bring this message of forgiveness to your heart. What's he putting on your heart today? Lord, I thank you for what you have done in our lives. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for this gift. Now, Lord, we give you this time. Holy Spirit, do your work. Draw to yourself. Lord, those who need you for the first time, And those of us who have known you a long time and need to look at the forgiveness account balance and see, Lord, that you want to set us free. Bless you, Lord. Come now. Come now. The altar's open.
Out of the ruins and rubble, out of the smoke, out of our night of struggle, can we see a ray of hope? One pale thin ray reaching for the day. We can build a beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city, a city of angels. We can build a city of men. We may not reach the ending, but we can start. Slowly but surely mending, brick by brick, heart by heart. Now, maybe now, we start learning how. We can build a beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city, a city of angels. We can build a city of men. When your trust is all but shattered, when your faith is all but killed, give up bitter and batter, or you can slowly start to build. We can build a beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city. A city of angels, finally, a city of men.
I want to pray a prayer for you right now as we continue. Some of you I know are thinking, man, if I go down there, not about that. Don't worry about that. This is you and God right now, okay? You and God, getting it right. Getting it right. And maybe you just need right now, by faith, say to the Lord, Lord, I forgive so-and-so. Put that person's name or that group or whatever. Put their name in there right now. Let's pray right now. Lord, I'm asking you for those of us who need to forgive someone or some entity. Well, right now, as we pray this prayer, we say, Lord, I choose, not I want to, but I choose to forgive. And you fill in that blank right now. Now, as we're praying, there may be someone you need to go to, someone that you know you've offended in some way. Go and ask their forgiveness. Get it right. Life's too short. Life's too short. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to let your love rain upon us today. As you put the joy of knowing forgiveness in our lives through you, in our lives, right now. In Jesus' name. We'll receive those cards. If you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back and baskets up there. We'll receive those right now if you want to come. You just got to hear this. I like to giggle in the middle of worship when I hear something that's just so great. All right, Priscilla, hit it.
Well, I hope my mom doesn't kick me in the butt after I tell her business. But when my mom was young, she was pregnant, and she had an abortion. And then she got pregnant again with me. And she was afraid and scared, and she was going to have another abortion again. And she told my biological grandmother that she was going to have an abortion. And my biological grandmother was a very strong Christian, and she prayed and she prayed. And she begged my mother, don't have an abortion. Well, she didn't have an abortion, and here I am today with three kids and an awesome husband.
Aren't you happy, DJ? Amen. Amen. The rest of your life, brother. Rest of your life. I always like to give you a chance to make points there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got a lot to praise the Lord about. Those of you who haven't met McCall yet, you need to meet her. If you want to see some pictures of our new grandbaby, just see me and I'll be obnoxious with you. Make sure you greet one another. Now, I want you to look up around here. Dave, come up here for a minute. Come up here for a minute. How many do y'all really know Dave Baldwin? Huh? Now, the rest of you need to get to know this guy, okay? He's been everywhere and done everything, and God has blessed him. He is a great musician also. So Yes, sir.
I asked him to say that.
Get to know Dave. I send you out. Go in grace.
God, you reign, you adore.